Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together. And I need to state first the obvious. Only a real man can wear pink. Let's recite together the Apostles' Creed, shall we? We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us this Sunday morning. This is the seventh and final Sunday of Easter. If we reflect, it all started with Holy Week on that Sunday, Palm Sunday, where we remembered Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Then he's betrayed and crucified, which we remembered on Good Friday. That Sunday we celebrated his resurrection, which is Easter, and now we've been in this season for Easter. So today is the last and final Sunday in Easter. Next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. So the seventh Sunday of Easter is in a space of waiting. So what has happened, Jesus is risen from the dead, and for 40 days he is appearing to all his followers and proving that he's alive. Then finally they all gather together, and then they watch him as he ascends into heaven. We read about it in the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 1, starting in verse 3, after Jesus' suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Very typical. A lot of Christians, for whatever reason, love to get caught up in end time stuff. I'm not sure what the point of that is, you know, if it's not making you a better person, but they love that stuff. And their disciples, first thing they start asking about the end times, and Jesus said, mind your own business. And it goes back to what he just told them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So he ascends into heaven, and now the church is waiting, wondering, praying. They don't know what's going to happen. He didn't say what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. They're in this place of, I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you're kind of waiting. You're not sure how God's going to show up. You know how God's going to give you the answer. It's this period. It's a little bit of a tension. So that's what this Sunday's about. It's about the in-between. Sometimes even in the midst of suffering and in the space of uncertainty. We read where the Apostle Peter writes these words in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So it starts out by saying, after you have suffered for a while. Notice Peter says, doesn't say, if you suffer. He says, after you suffer. He speaks honestly. Following Christ does not mean a life free from suffering. It means a life marked with hope in suffering. So 4 points I want to leave with you this morning. Point number one, suffering, Peter says, is not supposed to be strange to us. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has taken place among you. But so many people, when they go through hard times, are shocked. And it's like, wow, what's going on? You know, did I do something wrong? Where's God? What's going on? And they kind of panic and freak. Even the Bible clearly tells us there will be troubles coming. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So when hard times come, don't be shocked. In fact, if we've been in a long period of no troubles, I get a little nervous. I think, it's got to be coming. Something's coming, and it always does, right? Be ready. Put on the armor of God. Don't be shocked and fall apart when things go south. It's the refining fire of God. It's not a punishment. It's a preparation. God is not abandoning you. He is strengthening you. Doesn't feel like it at the time, but that's what's happening. Number two, what does he say? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. And I love this next part. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In other words, cast, you know, get it off. It's kind of like, you know, get a blood-sucking tick on you. When you do, oh, look, it's a pretty little bug. No, get rid of it. Get off. Now, my wife, Deanna, she was raised in the Northwoods, is very familiar with bugs and ticks. Don't freak her out. My first wife, Debbie, bless her soul, was a strong, confident woman. But if there's one thing that would freak the everlasting out of her, was a tick. She would lose it. I mean, she would scream, ah, get it off. I said, it's just a bug. You'll be okay. You know, get rid of it. So we're supposed to cast, get it off of you. Don't let anxiety get on you. Shake it off. And it's stunning how many people today struggle with anxiety. And what's even more shocking, how many young people today are struggling with anxiety. It's like a major problem among youth today. All stressed out and worried. I think, what in the world have you got to worry about, right? You think things are hard now? Hang on a few years. There's tough times coming, right? Don't be freaking out and panicking about things. You have no idea what's coming. Anxiety is a warning sign. It's a symptom that something is wrong. It's like if you get a bad cough or something, you know, your skin starts getting all weird. It's a symptom. Something's wrong. It says one or more of three things. Three things. Number one, it says when you're acting that way and you're all freaked out with anxiety, you're saying God doesn't really care about me. Or it says number two, it's not likely that God will show up and change things in my life. Or number three, which is the most insulting one of all, God cannot change my situation. My problem is too big, Pastor. My financial situation is beyond God's ability to repair. Can you imagine how insulting this is to God? My marriage is so bad, God himself cannot make a difference. I've been sick so long, I just cannot get better. In short, anxiety is a state of unbelief. And that's a problem for a Christian. Because Jesus taught us that anything is possible for him who believes. We were singing that earlier in that song, right? He called us to be people of faith, not full of fear. See, Pastor, I struggle with this. What do I do? Well, there's three things you can do to break free from the evil of anxiety. Number one, pray. You need to pray regularly. If the only time you pray is when you're in trouble, or you pass a cop on the road and say, "Oh Lord, don't let him come after me," you know, if that's the only time you pray, you're not praying. You're just reacting. You need to learn how to pray. Number two, read the scriptures. Inevitably, scripture reading will transform your life. And then number three, attend every service you can. Every service you possibly can. These are the three things. Pray, people who pray regularly, who read their Bible regularly, and attend church regularly, do not walk around in anxiety. They're free. There's peace that passes all understanding. It's one of the joyful things about being in the presence of Christ, the peace of Christ. All right? If you want true peace, you need to change how you approach life. Now, I don't say these things to make you feel bad, because then we just replace anxiety with guilt and shame, and we've accomplished nothing. I'm trying to encourage you. You don't need to live that way. And the amount of people that are drugged out of their ever-loving minds today, don't raise your hands, because of anxiety. I'm telling you, these people, just ask yourself, do I pray regularly? If you're struggling, you probably don't pray regularly. You probably little to no Bible reading in your life, and you come to church as long as there's nothing else going on in town. And certainly at least twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Those three things alone will change your life. Number three, he says, be alert. You're in a spiritual battle. Discipline yourselves, he says. Keep alert. Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter reminds us that our struggle is not just physical or emotional, it's spiritual. And remember this, you're in the middle of a battle. There's no neutral, no man's land. God is either blessing your life or Satan is cursing your life. And the enemy would love nothing more than to devour your peace, your faith, your joy. But Peter says, don't panic. He calls for steadfastness. Resist him, the devil, steadfast in your faith. You're not alone in your struggles. God is with you in the midst of your struggles. And finally, number four, God will restore you. I love this part. He says, after you have suffered for a while, the God of all grace will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. God personally involved in your life and relationship. The promise at the heart of this message is God will restore you whatever has been broken. He will support whatever has been shaken. He will strengthen whatever has grown weak, and he will establish what seems uncertain. Who will do this? God himself, he says. It's an amazing thing. God has not forgotten about you. He's not watching from afar, way off in the distance. Some people act like God's not aware of my troubles. He's aware of everything about you. And we should cast our anxieties on him, he says, because he cares for us. He is personally involved, and he himself will restore you. And I want to end with this little poem. Many of you are familiar with this. Well, most people have seen this somewhere, but I thought this is great because it really wraps up what I'm talking about. It says, one night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was only one set of footprints. During the low periods of my life, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said, Lord, you promised me that you would always walk with me. Why, when I needed you the most, have you not been there for me? And the Lord said, the times you've seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. We're going to celebrate now with our communion time. Here's when we celebrate what all of this is about. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world so that we don't have to be separated from God anymore. If you're a believer in Christ, we're joined together with God. You say, well, I'm struggling. Go back to those three things. Be faithful in prayer. Read your Bible. You don't have to read a whole thing every day. Read something from it. If you don't have a devotional, go get one. There's a gazillion of them online. Pick one. And every day it'll give you scriptures. It'll even give you a prayer that you can pray. Get these thoughts into your life and attend church all the time. Not just when it's convenient. You'll find your life will be different. You will be overwhelmingly flooded with peace, love, and joy. And anxiety will seem very strange to you because it won't have its foothold on you anymore. The Bible says whenever we take communion, we should pause and examine ourselves. So with those thoughts in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray for forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we've done, something that we left undone, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And while people are reflecting right now, maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know, I've never really done any of this that you guys are singing about and talking about. Well, you can right now, just in your own words, ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of all of your sins. And you can experience this wonderful joy that we're talking about. This peace, this love, this joy can fill your life because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. Amen.